Well, good morning to you.
Such a lovely
September morning, October morning. Apparently a lot of other people felt they needed to be elsewhere. Well, that's fine. We'll hope we see a few more before a few minutes go by. Some announcements, of course, just to today. Yesterday was Save a Saturday for this month. About a dozen people helped us get the center ready for next Sunday's Durga Puja, and I thank them from the very bottom of my heart. You can, of course, offer service anytime as suits your schedule, or you can join us between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. on the second Saturday of each month and help make your center more beautiful, functional, and welcoming. And that's exactly what those people did yesterday. If you take a look around the shrine room, including the shrine itself, you will see it's very clean and very tidy and very beautiful, functional, and welcoming. The center needs your service. There's no two ways about it. Second announcement, Durga Puja will be performed from 11 a.m. to noon next Sunday, October 21st. Brother Dhruva will speak to us about the mother and then serve as our pujari. Those of you who would like to sing for the master or the mother, please email me about that. I need to hear from you beforehand so that I can coordinate it with Dhruva. So if you want to sing, please email me. The puja will be followed by our usual potluck prasad lunch from 12:30 p.m. to 2 p.m. in the monastery's fellowship hall. Is there anything else that should be announced that I didn't think of? Also yesterday, we did have the Chandi recitation in English. We got started a little late, but did the whole thing. So whenever we have Seva Saturday, the Chandi hymns are chanted nominally from 10 a.m. to 10:30. All right. So, since Krishna Kali didn't offer to sing a song for Mother this week, I'll give you just this brief one. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Ma, 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 ma. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Ma, 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 ma. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Ma, 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 ma. Bountiful art thou, blissful art thou, beautiful art thou. Ma, ma, ma. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Sahana Vavatu, Sahano Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvi Navaditamastu, Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May the Divine Being look over us lovingly as a mother and father. May the Divine Being support and nourish us as a mother and father. May we have the strength and skill to study together the art of spirituality. May no misunderstandings arise amongst us. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. So again, welcome. Thanks for coming this morning. The topic is the significance of mother worship according to Swami Swahananda. Of course, we'll quote from many others besides Swahananda, but it was Swami Swahananda that gave the impetus to me to really look toward the mother. October is a month for the study of bhakti yoga. As a bhakti yogi, you establish a devotional relationship with God through study, prayer, ritual, and worship. You practice giving every action, thought, emotion, perception, and tendency a Godward turn. All your energies and attributes, both positive and negative, are offered to the Divine Presence. Your prayer is for self-surrender, union with your Beloved. This is the season for worship of the Divine Mother. Today we'll talk about why her worship can be of great benefit to your spiritual life. She is called Shakti or Kali by Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda. They say she is the creative power that manifests our universe, that the inner nature of this power is feminine. Swami Swahananda said, "It is the struggles, even in the lost battles of life, that a spiritual seeker is to see the hands of the mother. Then only is he or she established in steadfast devotion. The seeker is to steel himself against all fears and weaknesses, and the worship of the mother as power in all her aspects prepares him for it." So because that's the frame of reference for the rest of this talk, I'm going to repeat that. Swami Swahananda said, "It is in the struggles, even in the lost battles of life, that a spiritual seeker is to see the hands of the mother. Then only is he or she established in steadfast devotion. The seeker is to steel himself against all fears and weaknesses, and the worship of the mother as power in all her aspects prepares him for it." Note that the Swami did not mean we don't have fears and weaknesses, but in studying the power of the mother, we can steel ourselves against these fears and weaknesses. This morning we'll speak of this worship, the worship of the daily of the mother, in daily life. Bhakti means devotion. Worship of the mother is a special kind of devotion. It focuses your attention on abiding with her and on your deepening, loving relationship with her. As we explore these ideas, we will discuss the specific results you can expect to achieve by practicing this particular form of bhakti yoga. Let's start by connecting some dots. In Chaitanya's prayer, He says, "Various are thy names, O Lord. In each and every name thy power resides. No times are set, no rites are needful for chanting of thy name, so vast is thy mercy." So vast is thy mercy. In the case of worship of the Divine Mother, it is the mercy of the all-powerful Divine Feminine, who wants nothing so much as a sweet, loving relationship with you, her child. So vast is thy mercy. In this case, the mercy of the all-powerful Divine Mother, who wants nothing so much as a sweet, loving relationship with you, her child. At the opening of chapter 4, this is the second dot, at the opening of chapter 4 of the Devi Mahatmyam, 700 verses on the glory of the Divine Mother Durga, Indra, the king of the gods, and his hosts of devas, gods, are chanting their praise of Mother Durga for her defeat of Mahisasura and his army, and the end of that great demon's reign of terror. In verse 10 of that chapter, they sing to her, "You are the soul of Shabda Brahman. You are the soul of Shabda Brahman." Shabda Brahman means the reality, the divine presence in the form of sound. This is not a clever turn of phrase. It means the mother's presence, all of it, is actually contained in the sound of her name. Third dot. So hold this thought now. Connecting what Chaitanya says, "In each and every name thy power resides," with what the devas chant, "You are the divine presence in the form of sound." Whenever we think of her name or chant it, silently or aloud, in those moments we are manifesting her presence, the ultimate reality, as the mother of the universe. Jai Shri Durga, Jai Shri Durga, Jai Shri Durga. In those moments, we are manifesting her presence, the ultimate reality, as the mother of the universe. Some background. Who is Mother Durga? In verse 7 of chapter 4 of the Devi Mahatmyam, Indra and the hosts of gods chant, quote, "You are the origin of all the worlds. You are incomprehensible even to Vishnu, Shiva, and others. You are the resort of all. This entire world is composed of an infinitesimal portion of yourself. You are verily the supreme primordial prakriti," that is, the nature that we experience, and the creator of that nature. "You are verily the supreme primordial prakriti, untransformed." So think as we say Jai Shri Durga or some other name of the mother, we are manifesting that supreme primordial prakriti, untransformed. And later in another hymn of praise, after she has slaughtered the demons, the devas sing salutations again and again to the goddess who abides in all beings in the form of mother. They chant salutations again and again to the goddess who abides in all beings in the form of mother. All beings, that includes each of us and the demons she has killed, for that matter. Yet, for us, isn't it natural to have a loving, even worshipful relationship with your own birth mother? how much more so the mother of your being at every moment of your eternal life. It's natural to have a loving, worshipful relationship with the Divine Mother. Sri Ramakrishna said, "One can attain everything through bhakti yoga. I wept before the Mother and prayed, 'O Mother, please tell me, please reveal to me what the yogis have realized through yoga and the jnanis through discrimination.' I wept before the Mother and prayed, 'O Mother, please tell me, please reveal to me what the yogis have realized through yoga and the jnanis through discrimination.' And the Mother has revealed everything to me. She reveals everything if the devotee cries to her with a yearning heart. She has shown me everything that is in the Vedas, the Vedanta, the Puranas, and the Tantra." If you want to read the context for that quote, it's in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna on page 579. Sri Ramakrishna also said to M, the writer of the Gospel, practice just a little, and someone will come forward to help you. That someone is the Mother herself, according to Sri Ramakrishna. Now we know that when these teachings were brought to the West, Sri Ramakrishna spoke through Swami Vivekananda. This was Swami Vivekananda's representation, that he spoke for Sri Ramakrishna. And here is what Swami Vivekananda said about worship of the Divine Mother. These are notes taken on a Sunday afternoon class, Sunday afternoon in New York, in a class in June 1900. I'll read this long quote from Swami Vivekananda. "In an old Veda is found the mantra, 'I am the empress of all that lives, the power in everything.' I am the empress of all that lives, the power in everything. Mother worship is a distinct philosophy in itself. Power is the first of our ideas. It impinges upon man at every step. Power felt within us as soul, without as nature. And the battle between the two makes human life. Power within is the soul, without nature. And the battle between the two makes human life. All that we know or feel is but the resultant of these two forces. Man saw that the sun shines on the good and the evil alike. Here was a new idea of God as the universal power behind all. The mother idea was born. The mother stands by her child through everything. Wife and children may desert a man, but his mother never. Mother again is the impartial energy of the universe. Because of the colorless love that asks not, desires not, cares not for the evil in her child, but loves him the more. This world is all alike the play of the mother. This world is all alike the play of the mother. But we forget this. Even misery can be enjoyed when there is no selfishness, when we have become the witness of our own lives. In our thought of God, there is human limitation, personality, with Shakti, the Divine Mother. With Shakti comes the idea of one universal power. In the Gita comes Krishna's significant saying to Arjuna, 'I am the real, and I am the unreal. I bring good, and I bring evil. Eternal, unquestioning self-surrender to the Mother can give us peace. This is Vivekananda speaking. Eternal, unquestioning self-surrender to the Mother can give us peace. Love her for herself without fear or favor. Love her because you are her child. See her in all, good and bad alike. Then alone will come sameness, same-sidedness. Then alone will come sameness and bliss eternal, that is the Mother herself, when we realize her thus. Until then, misery will pursue us. Only resting in Mother are we safe. She is life, she is intelligence, she is love. She is in the universe, yet separate from it. She is a person and can be seen and known, as Sri Ramakrishna saw and knew her, and parenthetically, as did Vivekananda in Kashmir toward the end of his life, and for that matter in the shrine at Dakshineshwar. She is life, she is intelligence, she is love. She is the universe, yet separate from it. She is a person and can be seen and known, as Sri Ramakrishna saw and knew her. Established in the idea of Mother, we can do anything. She quickly answers prayer. She can show herself to us in any form at any moment. Divine Mother can have her form, rupa, and name, nama, or name without form, and we worship her in these various aspects. And as we worship her in these various aspects, we can rise to pure being, having neither form nor name. Would you like some water, Uma? Got a cough drop, okay. This is the end of the quote from Swami Vivekananda. A bit of Mother, a drop, was Krishna. Another was Buddha. Another was Christ. Worship her if you want love and wisdom. And now to return to Swami Swahananda on the role of devotion, chanting, and worship in our relationship with the Divine Mother. These are in priority order. These are the priority order. Number one, devotion, constant recollection that she is, constant recollection that she is and is doing everything. This world is all alike the play of the Mother. We offer all that she gives us, every thought, feeling, and perception back to her, along with every action, eating, sleeping, etc., until at last we actually experience that we are doing nothing, she is doing everything. First priority, then, is devotion, as he defined it just there. Second, chanting. Japa. This manifests Shabda Brahman. It establishes your connection to the Divine Presence and helps concentrate and control the conscious mind. So priority two, chanting, japa. This is in the worship, your relationship with the Divine Mother. Priority two, chanting, japa. This manifests Shabda Brahman, establishes your connection to the Divine Presence and helps concentrate and control the conscious mind. Third priority, worship. But worship as meditation, to gain control of the subconscious mind and feel her living presence throughout your whole being. When we've learned to control the conscious mind through japa, the Swami says, through chanting so that the mind doesn't wander, and then we transition from that form of concentration to meditation, and we learn to control the subconscious, then we begin to feel Mother's divine presence throughout our whole being. Swahananda said, at last the yogi merges in the direct thought of the chosen deity. This is Savikalpa Samadhi. Swahananda said, at last the yogi merges in the direct thought of the chosen deity. Fourth priority, chanting of hymns and stories and formal worship. We love to hear the stories chanted. We love to do, if we get in the habit of it, we love to do some formal worship. But Swami Swahananda said, this is in fourth place. This is in fourth place. First is devotion. Second, chanting. Third, worship. Chanting as in japa, mantra. Swahananda, about this fourth point. Swahananda said, revolve in the mind thoughts of the ideal, memories of sacred scenes, and the attributes of its reality. In Swahananda's view of the world and its deity, go straight to the mother. The objection is raised, oh, well, if we think of mother as doing everything, that means all of the unpleasant things are also her doing. Yes. And Swahananda's remark to that objection was, do you want a namby-pamby mother? Do you want a namby-pamby mother? And in the Chandi it says, ultimately, mother, it is your nature to control, to subdue. It is your nature to subdue the conduct of the wicked. Swahananda said, life is a battle. Fight it with her help. And in this I hear an echo of Sri Ramakrishna saying, practice just a little, and someone will come forward to help you. The Chandi makes it clear mother is all. Everything. Everything. Every action. Every thought. Every aspect of your waking, dreaming, and dreamless sleep. Mother is everything. Is all. So in the words of the Chandi, we prostrate before her who is at once most gentle and most terrible. We salute her again and again. We prostrate before who is at once most gentle and most terrible. We salute her again and again. So this has been a summary of why to chant the mother's name. It manifests her in that moment, in all her wonder and glory and power, as Shabda Brahman. Jai Shri Durga, Jai Shri Durga, Jai Shri Durga. And then, as we practice this as a way of doing and being, as we do a daily practice, it's transformative. It changes us from the karma-bound, anxiety-ridden, fearful grasping to freedom. Because we see that all that all of those aspects of ourselves are also the mother and the mother's doing. Doesn't mean that they're given free rein, that we practice license. No. But it frees us from the results of the actions. Truly frees us. Some of you who are here this morning are chanting during these days from October 9th to the 19th. You're chanting Jai Shri Durga. I hope you're experiencing the results of that, the feeling that comes when you chant, this upwelling of the artesian spring of the water of life. If you're not, I encourage you to. You don't have to make a pledge. These are not obligations. These are not dogmas. But it's simple. Jai Shri Durga. Jai Shri Durga. Jai Shri Durga. Just do it a little and see what happens. Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda, Swami Brahmananda, Swami Prabhavananda, Swami Vijnananda, Swami Swahananda, all those who have informed what this has become, all of them, highly, highly recommended. Worship of the Divine Mother. If it suits your temperament, if it doesn't suit your temperament, if you're a jnani by nature, all that goes to the side. But even a jnani needs a little sweetness in their life. Even a jnani needs a little sweetness in their life. So if they don't find it elsewhere, they might just dip their toe into chanting the Divine Mother's name. So, now comes the wonderful part of this morning where I stop talking, yada, 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 and we have a conversation. Here we are in the midst of Navaratri, the worship of the Divine Mother. Durga Puja will be worshiped, be practiced next Sunday. This next Wednesday in the early afternoon, we'll have Sandhi Puja, where we chant together the Mother's name here. What has all this given rise to you in you? What have you to say to the rest of the congregation? What question do you have to ask? This is the best part, where we talk with one another. Yes?
So, I was reading some quotes from Anandamayi Ma, and relating them as you were speaking to the aspect of the mother, which is more, from our perspective, not so kind and loving, but more violent or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it is...
Bagala.
What?
Bagala.
Bagala.
Yeah.
So I know in one sense, it's because we're relating to it from our own perspective, and there are so many other facets that we could be aligning ourselves with, of the divine that we could be aligning ourselves with and perceiving it from. But also, there's the statement from Anandamayi Ma, in which she said she became ill, and she said, oh, it must be because my disciples, I'm not quoting exactly, prevented me from following the divine. She spent a great portion of her life just following this divine impulse, and so traveling wherever she felt it was pulling her, and acting and relating to people in the way that she thought it was telling her to do. And so if she were prevented from doing that, then the consequence for her was falling ill.
Mm.
And so I'm wondering if part of that terrible aspect of the Divine Mother might be humanity or us as individuals not following the Divine
Mother. Oh, I think that's clear.
Yeah.
But not following, if we think to the evening hymn, what Vivekananda wrote about the Divine Presence, speech cannot hold thee nor mind. Yet without thee we think not nor speak. When we do something that is harmful, it is out of ignorance of the truth. The more we know, the more we are self-revealed, the more perfect our behavior becomes. As Sri Ramakrishna says, in the final stage, you become like the expert dancer who cannot make a false step. It's because they don't hear the music anymore. They are the music. And so the music moves them. And it's said that they can never do anything dark. Now, I don't know all of that myself for a fact, but I believe it's true. Certainly, I've seen in many lives since I started following this path in the late 60s, I've seen many lives that have changed from a mixture of dark and light to more and more light and more and more light, and in some cases veritably to saintliness. So without knowing the context in which Ananda Mahima was speaking, we have to take her at her word that she saw something in this restraint of her ability to follow what the Divine Presence was guiding her to do. When she wasn't able to do that, then that had a negative effect. How can we possibly question her without being wiser than she? So, wonderful, wonderful. This is exactly it. Mother is doing everything, including the stuff that we regard as dark. We don't understand its meaning or its import. And, you know, if you read the Devi Mahatmyam, you know, these are stories of the demons taking charge. Four instances of the demons taking charge. And finally Mother comes in and opens a can of whoop-ass. And, you know, they are defeated. She takes under herself the power of all of the devas and overcomes the great demons. This image right here is an objectification of Ma Durga killing Mahishasura. And when we do Sandhi Puja on the 19th from 12 something in the afternoon to 1 something in the afternoon, that will be a celebration of that moment. That's what that will be about. Anybody else, please? Yes, Aditya, go ahead. Please.
I was just, because you have been talking about Mother Zubair as it came, I wanted to sing a song, but then if you permit.
Well, why don't you wait till we're finished? The comments and questions, and very good. Okay. In future, please let me know these things before the talk, so that I won't give my poor skills to the congregation. You will give your much better skills. Uma.
Yes, speaking about Swami, not Swami. Mother and Mahima, I had the personal fortune to be in her presence.
Wonderful.
When I was growing up in India,
Mm.
We used to go, she used to come to our city every few years.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the perfect embodiment of whatever your associate mother could be.
Mm-hmm.
Very gentle, always a divine glow on her face, smile, very sweet and agreeable. And she used to address everybody as Pitachi, Pitachi. You know, just like we say mother, she used to call every man father, Pitachi, and she would give the answers. So that's why
Pitachi is children.
Pitachi is father.
Oh, father.
Second thing about doing the chapas, which I have started under your kind guidance, and since last year, it is so contagious. You know, once you start it, you want to do it more and more and more.
Yes.
And the best part about it, that you don't have to sit at it like in meditation, but you can repeat in your mind as you drive, as you cook, as you do your
daily. No times are set, no rites are needful for chanting
and
of thy name.
It keeps going itself.
Yes.
Inside you.
Yes.
And the biggest advantage I had, I experienced it. I had trouble going to sleep at night. No falling asleep. But after I do the japas, like a miracle, I feel peaceful. And I just manage.
Why? Why? It's because what we're doing is we're manifesting that great benign power that overwhelms our little thoughts and our anxieties and so on.
Yeah.
This is exactly it. We live in the Alpa, the limited, of anxiety, little thoughts. She represents the Bhuma, the eternal, the indescribably vast, full of peace and bliss. Anandamayi, Maya in the form of bliss. Anandamayi Ma.
Then I have a question. In which other religion, is it Judaism or which other religion has this concept of feminine as God?
Well, it's in the mystical form of Judaism. She has a name. I don't know if it's Greek or Latin. It's Sophia, I don't remember what the Hebrew is. Steve Gold mentioned it several times when he spoke here. Say it again.
Shekinah.
That's right. Shekinah. So yes, that's there, and it's definitely in Christianity. Much more so in the Eastern Orthodox and the Armenian Orthodox. It's still there in the Roman Catholic Church, but it was suppressed until John Paul II. You weren't to have the mother as the center of your worship. It had to be Jesus. It was Marianism, or the worship of Mary, the Divine Mother, was considered a form of heresy. That has now changed. And I can say that little statue that's on the right of the shrine as it's facing you, that was my late wife's image of Mary. And that was her way of worship, was worship. And when we hear the Ave Maria sung at Christmas, this is the worship of the Divine Mother, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us now and at the hour of our death. This is the benign form of the mother that was the mother of Jesus. And so it's there. It's also very, very strong in the Native American religions. We don't hear much about it because that's been so suppressed here in this country. But Mother is at the center. In the Andes, for example, throughout the Andes. This extends clear from Mexico, but it's really most prevalent in the Andes. Her name is Pachamama. Pacha means cosmos. Mama means mother, of course, and it predates the Spanish. The Spanish didn't bring the mama to them. Pachamama means mother of the cosmos, mother of the universe. And there it is their primary form of worship. The nuns, and there were nuns among the Inca and previously the Aymara, they were called mamaconas, women who were dedicated to the mother. Mamaconas. So it's the, and of course the Greeks and the Romans had their feminine deities in abundance. A lot of parallels in their different characteristics and so on to what we find in the Sanatana Dharma. There's the mother of the harvest. There's the mother of sowing, there's not sowing, but that too, but sowing the crops and reaping the crops and nurturing the crops. It's all there, creation, sustentation, destruction. It's in the Roman and Greek mythologies. Yes, dear.
So I don't know if mine is a question or a comment or an observation.
Doesn't matter.
So obviously the Divine Mother is all-encompassing and has all the attributes and everything. But in the human embodiment, sometimes the soft nature of the mother is seen in the father or the son or the brother and not necessarily in the woman form. Mm-hmm. And vice versa, the fierceness and the some of the negative attributes are
terrible.
Seen.
Let's just say terrible rather than negative.
Are seen. I don't know how to word my question, but unfortunately, we see in the world, like child abuse, for instance, sometimes it's not necessarily happening, through the gender. It's...
Yes. Oh, yes.
It can be, the mother form can be the other.
This is why it's said to us that karma is absolutely impenetrable. We cannot explain karma. Karma is the action. You mentioned child abuse. Why on earth would children ever be abused? Any action has a corresponding cause. What is the cause? But it's not ponderable to us. There are too many inputs to the vector that comes out as what we call child abuse. So we don't try to explain, we just compassionately respond, giving nurture and sustenance and succor as we can to be a refuge for those who suffer from any cause. Robert, did you have something? Thank you.
You made a statement about, fast, but it caught me because I've had experience of it, and it's something I thought about. It was suffering disappears when you get rid of selfishness.
Yes, that's from the Vivekananda quote.
And I've given some thought, and once selfishness...
It isn't that it disappears. You're experiencing it differently. He says, actually, that you can enjoy it. So it's not that it disappears. It simply is transformed in your experience because you are no longer being it. You are witnessing it. And that witness self becomes mature as selfishness disappears. You no longer see yourself as the limited small self.
I was seeing the suffering, the cause of suffering is actually the selfishness. Without the selfishness, the suffering can exist.
Not as such. The karma will manifest, but it won't be experienced in the same way. What caused what would have otherwise been experienced as a terrible suffering, because there was still a lesson to be learned. When there's no lesson to be learned, it's not experienced in the same way.
What was the question?
How do we relate to what Swami Vivekananda said when he said, when you abandon selfishness, suffering can actually be enjoyed. That's what he says. Because it is no longer being borne by the small self as the results of prior actions. It is being witnessed like you'd witness anything else in the world.
So you develop that kind of unbiased or witness type of attitude.
It's a kind of distance. Yes. It's nearer than the nearmost, farther than the farmost. Mm-hmm. Because that's who you've become. You've become that rather than the limited self. When you abandon selfishness, you discover the witness self behind. When you don't see everything as related to you, you know, oh, this is happening to me. Me, 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 me. Mine, 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 mine. When you don't see it that way, it isn't experienced the same way, even though the same thing may be happening. Suryananda had the great carbuncle cut out of his back without anesthesia, and it was the wound cauterized with a red hot iron, and yet he did not experience it in any way as you or I might, because he had become that, not the body's torment. Yes.
Throat cancer.
Yeah. Not only the throat cancer, but toward the end of his life, it had metastasized into his whole body. He was just a skeleton, barely held together by a little farina pudding. In the beginning, it was just throat cancer, but in the end, it was, you know, there was just, if you see the picture of him taken after he departed the body, you cannot believe that any human being existed in that picture. Did you have something else, Robert?
I got it the second time you said it.
Okay, very good. Ryan, did you have something else?
No. Okay.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Yes, Dr. Munch.
You know, the mother that we worship here is more a Bengal tradition.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called Kali Puja.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to Gujarat, or then that will be Amba Puja.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically it is the what is called Adya Shakti, primordial force, mm-hmm. which is motherhood. And that differentiates into Amba, the wealth, the affluence, Chandi, the fierce, and in between Saraswati, which is Sophia. Mm-hmm. So all these three forms are feminine forms. But here, in Bengal, they show this earth, but there are many forms of mother like we all have experienced with our own mother.
Well, as if I'm not mistaken, in Durga Puja, they worship
Durga. Yeah.
Not just Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati.
Yeah, but it's called Kali Puja.
No, it's called Durga. Kali Puja is...
Durga is Kali.
No, but there's Kali Puja is later.
This is
Durga Puja that we're taking on now.
But the three forms, Durga is the Kali form. Amba, Mahalakshmi, Maha Saraswati, and Mahakali.
You're talking above my paycheck, sir. I just don't know that much about the intricacies of this. I'm not going to dispute you, because I'm sure you know far more than I. All I know is that in the Durga Puja, as it is celebrated the way I'm familiar with it, Kali is. So they're but it's immaterial. It's immaterial as far as what today's topic was about. Today is just what happens if you chant the mother's name, if you begin to worship the mother, what happens to you? And I'll let you talk this out with Dhruva next week. I'm sure that you and Dhruva will have a wonderful conversation, because he knows whereof he speaks when it comes to these forms of the mother, as do you. So you two can go toe-to-toe about it. That would be wonderful. Love to listen to it.
But the second point I wanted to bring up, that there is a dynamic relationship between mother and child.
Oh, yes.
Mother is mother because there is a child.
Mm-hmm.
And this is best illustrated, and that's why I like some of the Hindu mythology, that when it comes to Yashoda, Krishna's mother, one time as a Balakrishna, he was eating clay, which is very common, particularly in children in India.
Mm-hmm. And here too.
Yeah. She asked him to open up his mouth, and with that one, he would not. So Yashoda first opened his mouth, and what she saw inside was amazing. She saw mountains and suns and the stars and the whole entire universe she saw. Now this she got just by the love of the child, as opposed to that Arjuna had to struggle so much through 18 little chapters, so many questions, and then finally he saw that form of Krishna which is embracing the entire universe.
Yes.
The mother form in Christianity, particularly Mother Mary, there was an article in National Geographic about the statue of Mother Mary somewhere in South America. Uh-huh. I forgot the details. How millions of people come there.
Oh, yes.
And they cry. All ages, they cry. That means this spirit of motherhood that we are talking about today is so universal. It's not pertaining to a particular religion or anything like that. And at the same time, we are afraid of mother and we love mother. That complex, that makes it a very dynamic duo.
Yes, it certainly does. The form that you may be talking about may be Guadalupe. Guadalupe is very much, for the shrines of Guadalupe are very much visited in South America, but mostly
Mexico.
In Mexico.
Yeah. Mexico, yes.
She is a, it is said, the legend is that the goddess of the universe in Nahuatl, the language of the Aztecs, the name for the universe is the Tonal. And so the mother of the universe was called Tonantzin. The legend is that Tonantzin merged with Mary. They merged. This is the story told by a man who was witness to it. And the resulting form was Guadalupe, which is not Mary precisely. It is not Tonantzin precisely. It is the merger of the two. And this is why it's so congenial for the Native American people of the Mexico and further south to worship her, because she embodies Tonantzin or Pachamama as well.
There is an anecdotal story of George Washington. I should bring that up. That as a president, he used to always have one room in which the family will come together,
mm-hmm.
and they will pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that time, as the story goes, unverified, that his child started making a noise and he could not be controlled. So George Washington slapped him. Washington's mother was next to him, so he slapped George Washington. Why? She says, see, he's a child and he's making a noise here. But in this church, you are not supposed to be angry. You became angry, and therefore, as a mother, I have to slap you. That is the Kali form that we are
talking. Yes, yes, yes. Well, you know, there's also a legend, and Swami Atmarupananda, who's coming in November, will be invited to talk to us about it. There is a legend that, it's more than a legend, it's a documented instance, that George Washington had a vision, very powerful and prolonged vision, of the goddess of this continent, the ruler goddess of this continent. And I won't try to tell you about it because I remember it too sketchily from when I heard it many years ago, but I will ask Atmarupananda to tell us about it because I think it's very germane to our situation now in this country. Turtle Island is what the Native American people. Yes, please.
So thanks to Dr. Majumdar, who was talking about the different parts. I come from South India, a very small district, but if you see in Bengal, that Durga Puja, same time frame, and the end of September towards the first, second weeks of October, where the Mother Puja is celebrated. In South, especially in Karnataka, in Tamil Nadu, and Kerala, all these parts, we call it Navaratri. Mm-hmm. Where it's a similar process happening. And interestingly, in 16th century, where a place called Nagapattinam, it's a Velankani, where the St. John's ship came in and they established one of the biggest Roman Catholic church in India from the beginning.
It isn't Roman Catholic. Oh, it's Catholic, but not Roman Catholic.
Oh, no, okay. So that was called as Velankani. Velankani is also like Mother, it's basically Mary, Mother Mary's church. In that church, it's always Mother Mary celebrated. The district is completely fused together. What happens is like, there's always another goddess called as Mariamman, which is Mari, and people call her the same name as Mother Mary. So there's a flag hosting festival happens in the same time frame. So if you see, it's not just the Hinduism where you have Durga, Kali, and Chandi in Karnataka, Chamundi, and all those things. Also, in this district, even Mother Mary was also part of the same thing. Before the harvesting happens in September, October, the last third month of the year, they start praying the procreation, the creation, and all those stuff as Mother Shakti all over. Then, on January, the harvesting ends, they do a Thanksgiving. So if you see Thanksgiving, Mother's Puja, all kind of the same 3 months of the end of the year.
Yes.
So it's very universal.
Yes, very much so.
Brother, you were mentioning about Swami Prabhavananda and Swami Swahananda and other direct disciples also mentioning about reparation of Mother's name during this time and the worship. Can you elaborate more on that?
Well, they were just all very devoted to it. I mean, they recognized the power of it for the reason that I tried to explain at the beginning of the talk. Chaitanya's representation in each and every name, thy power resides. So those names of the mother, when they say the power, they mean the entire being power of the mother resides there. And so in the Chandi, it says, she is Shabda Brahman. She is Brahman in the form of sound. So you connect those two dots and you say, all right, when we repeat her name, either mentally or with the lips silently or out loud, that's Shabda Brahman, all three forms. Are still Shabda Brahman. We're creating a sound in our mind. We're creating a sound in our mind and sort of with our lips when we do it silently or when it's out loud. This is the mother herself, not some thought about the mother, not some objectification of the mother. It is the mother herself in the form of sound. And so this is why all of these swamis were so devoted to the mother. One Sunday, Swami Prabhavananda spoke about the mother. On the next morning, the Monday morning, a group of devotees, including myself, was walking with the Swami, and a woman who was very effusive by nature said, "Oh, Swami, you spoke so beautifully about Mother yesterday. It was so beautiful, so inspiring." And he let her go on for several sentences, and then he just stopped and banged down his cane. And you always knew when that happened, something was, you need better listen up. And he said very quietly at first, "Who spoke?" "Who spoke?" Each time he was banging down the cane, she still dithered. Blah, 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 blah. "Who spoke?" Bang down the cane. Finally she said, "Mother, Swami, Mother." Bang down the cane again. "That's right." During the time that he was asking the question, he became larger and larger until perceptually by the third time he banged on his cane, he was 10 feet tall. It was not the Swami that we knew. It was something else. And when he said, "That's right," that form shrank back down into his gray overcoat and his straw hat and his dark glasses. It's just behind our awareness. The reality is just behind our thoughts, feelings, perceptions, all of this that is going on. It is the mother's play, but we don't know it as such. We think it's the small self, the Alpa. We think it is the limited being. The Swamis, the direct disciples, all those Swamis and Thakur and Ma that I mentioned, I didn't mention Ma, I guess, they all knew who was at play. So of course there's that devotion. And of course they model that devotion for us so that we can follow them. It's like Sri Krishna says in the Gita, "I do this so that people will follow me into this. If I behave differently, they'd follow me that way and it'd all get wonky." So this is why the Swamis behave the way they behave and talk the way they talk and instruct us the way they instruct us. So we if we do chant the Mother's name, we are not in her presence outside us. Of course, outside us as well, but most importantly, inside us. And this is why there's that strong, strong feeling that comes in the heart and ultimately throughout your whole body if you chant long enough. That is the mother's presence that the body is sensing in its limited way. Ultimately, we stop sensing it. That bliss itself is a limitation. We stop sensing it and are that, because that's who we are. We are Brahman. Did that answer the question?
Yeah.
Good question. Yes, Raj.
Well, I think my observation is simple, that as I read Gandhi, he even addressed his wife as Kasturba.
Yeah.
And to me, that if you establish a good relationship with any woman, or I mean, whatever level, still there is an attribute of mother. You can see it, honestly.
Well, this is what it says in the Chandi. All mythologies and scriptures are your aspects, O Devi. So are all women in the world with their various attributes. Which is why Sri Ramakrishna instructed us, salute all women as the Divine Mother. They are the Divine Mother. So are all women in the world with their various attributes. So you're right, Raj, if we establish that kind of relationship with anyone of the feminine gender, if we hold that in our hearts and hold that in our minds, we are in a relationship with the Divine Mother. And I'll guarantee you, all you husbands, if you do this with regard to your wife, what will happen as a result will amaze you. And I speak from experience. During the last 15 years of my marriage, this was the attitude that was taken. and it became a very sweet and harmonious relationship indeed. So it was easy because Marjorie herself was a worshiper of the Divine Mother. Wonderful. Anything else? Raj, thank you. Yes, absolutely. Yes, Dr. Munch.
You know, when we say mother, we are not talking about a gender. We are talking about parent and the parental spirit. And this is the complexity and ability to see through things, which I sometimes see in Hindu philosophy, is amazing.
Yes.
Because we call Shiva Shakti. Shiva is good for everyone, and Shakti is a force behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And this Shiva Shakti are always worshipped together.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one form of Shiva, half is man and half is woman, which is called Ardhanarishwara. This is embryologically equally true, because when I say I'm man, I'm not 100% man.
No.
Exactly. And one time we had an endocrinologist of a world renowned who came and who was going to speak on intersexes. And before that, I showed the picture of Ardhanarishwara, half man, and he says, this is absolutely amazing, and from now on, whenever he talks about the intersexes, he'll first show this picture.
Wonderful. Well, yes, of course. We are predominantly one thing or predominantly other. But as Sri Ramakrishna said of his direct disciples, so-and-so has a feminine nature, Premananda. He has a feminine nature. He didn't mean that there was anything wrong with him. No. And he said of Vivekananda, he has a strongly masculine nature. And we saw that. So, it's... We're predominantly this or predominantly that. And this is why this peculiar phenomenon of the transgender people has arisen. Because people sense that and they have the ability now to actually become their predominant self. It's unfortunate the way it's dealt with in society, but nevertheless there it is.
Arjuna had to be a woman at one time in his life, Brunlata. So,
was he a woman or a eunuch?
Woman.
Eunuch.
Woman.
Eunuch.
Yeah, but. Brunlata, yes.
Brihadjana.
That's
all. So, this is, as a matter of fact, that's what Krishna actually says to him in chapter 2.
Yes.
Don't be a eunuch.
Yes.
He knew that he had hidden out in that king's harem as a eunuch. And so he says, give up that eunuch self, get up and seize your weapons.
That's how he won the confidence of women.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Mm.
So these stories, people say, are they really true? What the blazes difference does it make? Learn from it. It doesn't matter whether it's... It's like the storyteller said. It may not be true, but it's accurate. When he was accused of... This is an Irish storyteller. He was accused of not telling the precise truth. Well, it may not be true, but it's accurate.
They're more true than...
Right. Yes, Raj.
I think most of the great people who really serve as humans, they have stronger nurturing aspects in them.
Of course there must be.
And they become real, I think, more humanitarian, more caring and serving. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look at it that way.
Just look at the life of Albert Schweitzer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Albert Schweitzer was, you're so right, Raj, He was just the most loving, nurturing, and yet he was very manly also at the same time. Sri Ramakrishna, people complain about his picture because it doesn't look quite exactly masculine. Keep looking at it, and after a while you'll understand. Jai, 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 Sri Ramakrishna. Thank you, Raj. You're absolutely right.
Is there room for song?
Oh, yes. If the congregation has the patience, if they're not so hungry that they just want to rush the table, then we'll listen to Aditya Singh.
So,
thank you, Uma. I had forgotten.
So first, I'll sing the Devi Pranam, which is sung in Belur Mutt and other centers of the mission. It's from Sri Sri Chandi. And so from today's Panchami in India, and the first ritual of the puja begins, and it is called the Bodhan. So the mother goddess is invoked and invited and thought of in a bilva tree, because she's present there in form of the fire. So today is that day. And when the first Durga Puja happened at the Belur Mutt, for which both Raja Maharaj, Swami Brahmananda, and Swamiji had made preparations. In fact, Raja Maharaj had made the preparations. Swamiji was ill, and despite that, he went and sung an Agamuni song. Mm-hmm. And so Agamuni songs are the songs which invite the mother from Himalayas, because she's the daughter of the Himalaya. She's Parvati, and she's coming to visit her maternal home. So I will sing one Agamuni then. And this was composed by Swami Chandikanandaji. And I'll tell the meaning. So it says, Ekbar Neera Jogo Ma Hridi Komalashwane. That is to say that, O mother, please take a seat in the heart lotus of my... Okay, I'll put it this way. Please take a seat in the lotus of my heart. And then, because I want to see thy form, which is enchanting to the three worlds. Then then Swami Chandikanandaji says that you are Annapurna, the giver of the food, to me Annapurna Ma, and you are Kali in the Shmashan, in the cremation ground. And in the Kailash, you are Lakshmi. In the Kailash you are Uma, Kailashete Uma Tumi Vaikunthe Rama, and you are Lakshmi in the Vaikunth. And then you take the form of Biranchi, that is Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh, for the Srijaya, Srijana Laya and Palane, to create, maintain and for the destruction of the world. And then he says that...
Aditya, I'm going to interrupt you,
so
please.
Sorry.
Would you sing the songs,
the song? Okay.
And then if anyone wants to know the meaning, they can ask you, and we go inside.
Okay, sorry.
So we'd like to hear you sing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Sundar, could you bring me that bottle of water that's just over there?
Sanatani Gunatani sarvasyati hari devi na
Aditya, beautiful. So, for those of you who are so inclined, I think we'll find a table with some lovely snacks and some tea and coffee inside. So please let us adjourn to that. I'll close with our regular chant. Let there be peace in outer space. Let there be peace in the sky, on the earth, and in the waters. Let there be peace in the herbs, the plants, and the trees. May the gods be peaceful.
May the gods be peaceful.
May the whole universe be pervaded by peace.
May the whole universe be pervaded by peace.
Let this infinite, universal peace prevail throughout my being. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto us and to all beings everywhere. How lovely. So I'll see you inside.